Well, I volunteer for an organisation called the Radio Society of Great Britain, and we represent the radio amateurs in the UK, about 60,000 amateurs in the UK. So we represent all of those. We've been working with the schools on this particular project. Not so much the technical activities, that's been done by a group called ARIS, Amateur Radio on the ISS, International Space Station. But today we were down there working with the schools, trying to encourage the pupils at the schools to look at amateur radio as another science-type subject. That's really what it was all
about.
And
an interesting way into all of the allied work fields that can form around
Absolutely.
Those.
Yeah, there was other organisations there today, just to put it in context, like the European Space Agency were there, and Airbus were there, mm-hmm. with a Mars rover and things like that. So they were very much looking at the sort of careers, giving the pupils some ideas of careers that could be,
yeah, I mean,
if they go into space.
Airbus in that area seemed to be suddenly quietly doing lots of space stuff. I've got a friend who actually works for NASA,
yeah.
and he's been involved in a project to test gravity, and they're going to launch some sort of fancy experiment at some point.
Yeah.
And he keeps coming over to go to Airbus.
Yeah.
And it's like, but you live in the US, in DC, and you basically work at NASA HQ, but you've got to come over to Stevenage to work on your experiment.
Yeah,
isn't that wonderful?
And of course, that was only just down the road from where we were in St. Albans today as well. So, yeah, it was very much employment opportunities and ideas. And we were trying to link it to the push in STEM subjects in schools now, and say this is just one of those extra options that can help with science, technology, you know, engineering and maths. That's it. So the electronics and things that we do in amateur radio that we do, you know, it's really good if the kids can get into that.
Yeah. Excellent. And if I remember rightly, the Sandringham School were not only just talking on the radio today, that they've had an entire theme of space going on.
The school was brilliant.
Something about cooking space biscuits.
I saw that in the video. Yeah, that was it.
We should be involved in that,
yeah,
shouldn't we?
That's right.
Did you think it was a space biscuit?
I think it was titled... No, I didn't. I think it was titled Food for Astronauts, or wasn't it? Something on the video, wasn't it? But I noticed biscuits go past. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, come on, Dom. Since we couldn't get an official space program going, you're now in charge of the space biscuits program.
Well, I think I can probably manage that.
Good.
As long as you're allowed flour and eggs and stuff in space, we should...
Can you imagine flour floating around, though? Getting in all the gadgetry.
Yeah, maybe
that's
not actually...
not a good idea.
Maybe not actually make it on the ISS. Yep. So anyway, we've got a bit of audio of Tim Peake's conversation with Sandringham School. The first question that he was asked by one of the pupils was, what did Tim Peake think that Isaac Newton would have thought if Isaac Newton had known that Principia was going to be the name of Tim Peake's mission?
Hi, Hugo. I'd like to think that Isaac Newton would be honoured that Principia was chosen as a mission name in honour of his life's work and, you know, his understanding of physics and the universe, which all of our knowledge has been built upon.
And there was another question. There was a whole load of questions. The next one was a more technical one. If you had a liquid hydrocarbon in space, would the intermolecular forces be strong enough to hold it in a ball of liquid? That's a bit of a... Yes,
very technical.
Steve is saying it right over his head.
Impressive
question. But yes, a very impressive question for the students to come up with.
There were some great questions, yeah.
That's a great question. And yes, you're absolutely right. The intermolecular forces in a liquid, the cohesion is stronger than the adhesion to the air, and so it would form a sphere. The surface tension would be great enough to make a liquid hydrocarbon form a sphere.
So yeah, that's just a couple examples of the questions that the students were.
Do you think he had to Google that before he answered it?
I don't know. I wouldn't like to say. I don't think we got on this recording, but the last question that Tim was asked was a brilliant one. It was, what would happen to a helium balloon on the ISS, in microgravity? You know, would it go up? Would it go down? And apparently it would just float around.
It would get blown
around by the air conditioning, actually.
I think he said it'd be mostly stable, didn't he, or something like that, but...
So there were a couple of technical hitches this morning, weren't they? But they got there in the end.
Yeah, one or two. Just at the start. We just found it a little bit difficult to get the signal started. So we lost a couple of minutes at the start. which meant that just a few of the kids didn't get to answer all of the, ask all of their questions that they wanted to.
What, 15 but minutes at the most for to actually
about
be?
10. You have to count on about 10 from horizon to horizon. Yeah. They've got to come up a little bit.
So it doesn't necessarily go straight over the top, does it?
No, it's about 71 degrees.
It's 73 degrees over my house,
And there were actually 20 questions that could have been
that's
asked. That's 30 seconds per question for asking and getting the answer. So,
Now, I understand you actually got a couple of, well, three of the students actually licensed as radio amateurs.
That's right, yeah.
Inside a week.
Well, it was a bit longer than that, but it was pretty quick. So the radio club down there, Verulam Radio Club, ran a course, foundation course for the, you know, the beginners. And the three girls that were on the stage, including the one that did the contact, went through the course.
But because she was very good.
She was excellent. Yeah. She really was. And talking to her afterwards.
Watch the web stream. Is the web stream available to rewatch?
It's going to be.
Okay.
I saw some tweets about it. They said that's the idea, that it will be there, but I don't know whether it is yet.
Right.
I'd say I've spent all day at the school, so I've seen none of the coverage.
Yeah.
So I can talk about it live. I've got no idea
about
the
recordings. So you've got to watch the coverage again to spot yourself, do you?
Yeah, absolutely. I've had people videoing or recording, not videoing, I'm too old for that, recording the TV coverage and things like that so I can have a look at it when I get back home.
So they got licensed fairly quickly.
They did, yeah, that's right. We they took the exam sheets down to the RSGB in Bedford, who then ran the checking that they'd passed. Had a quick word with Ofcom and sort of hurried all those things through. You know, it was all done by the book, but it was done, let's call it, expedited.
Right. Okay, so it can be done.
Oh, yeah.
It can be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And of course, Tim Peake himself had to get a license. He got a US license.
He got a US license.
In order to actually use the radios himself.
That's right, yeah. So the US authorities issued him a license.
Yeah.
And then Ofcom allowed him to use the GB1 call that he used while he was up there.
When's the next school?
The next one's in about 3 weeks.
Right. So I guess part of your problem is working out when you can have a pass that's during school time.
The way it's worked so far is we got dates for the first four schools, and they just get a week. They know it's going to be somewhere in that week.
Right.
So they plan their other activities, their curriculum stuff, in that week. And then, actually, we found out the actual date of the contacts for the first four on Boxing Day.
Right.
So then we were able to say, that's going to be the day. But that is, of course, plan, you know, you've got to go for when the space station is going to be overhead.
Well, that's fairly predictable.
It is predictable, but what we're going to have to do with some of the later schools is, you know, it could be two in a week, you know.
Yeah.
You know. So has the list of schools been published?
It has. The next one, in fact, is the Royal Masonic School for Girls in Rickmansworth, and that will be the second week of February, apparently.
Right. Are there any more that are close to us?
There's one in East Anglia. There's
City of Norwich Schools at the end of February.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, Rickmansworth's not that far away.
No, it's not.
You going to that one as well?
Possibly.
Right.
One thing I forgot to mention, is that during that week in their curriculum work, they've also been soldering some kits.
Right.
So the RSGB's actually been funding those kits going in there.
Nice.
They've been soldering their kits. And, you know, so the next school wants to do even more because they've seen what's happening. That's what's happening.
That's good.
Right, every school sees what they want. They want to do a bit more.
That's the whole point of the program.
By the time you get to number 10, they're going to be a whole month of it.
Yeah. Well, thanks very much for coming in, Steve.
All right, can I tell you one last thing?
Go on, then.
Go on, I know you want me to shut up, but one last thing. 10 to 1 this afternoon, the headmaster's phone rang. And Tim Peake gave him a phone call and said, he said, that was excellent. I just want to thank the school for doing it so well.
Nice.
So you went to all this radio travel?
Yeah, I know.
Phone call.
But which of us would not want that phone call?